Welcome to the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America with Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett. Take it away, boys.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you this morning. And once again, got a lot of stuff going on. We got two tours. Well, you probably got a lot more than that, but two main tours that are going head-to-head. Hasn't happened an awful lot since the introduction of the LIV Tour, but the PGA Tour is down in Mexico at the Mexico Open, and the guys on the LIV Tour are at the Singapore tournament in, let me guess, hang on, give me a second. I think Singapore is where that one is. Oh, and Taylor Gooch is leading that one. The PGA Tour event, not big names in that one. Pretty much you got Jon Rahm defending his title and Tony Finau is in it. Other than that, it's guys that you probably haven't heard a lot, but this is their chance to make some money, make some FedEx Cup points and whatnot. So another major coming up right around the corner, so a lot of guys gearing up for that. We have our good friend Steve Johnson, Director of Instruction at Vaquero Country Club in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Going to be joining us here in just a little bit. In the meantime, Frank Bassett in the apparently waterlogged Nashville area.
Yeah, man. We had some. Well, you had big storms too in Dallas yesterday.
Yeah, we did a couple days ago. Yeah.
But we did last night, and we lost power twice and once this morning. And as I was trying to get ready for the show, I'm setting everything up, and all of a sudden, boom, no power. I'm like, oh, wow. This is good.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You know what that means when equipment we use and all that. When we have no power, we have to go through a reboot process that takes about 30 minutes.
Yeah.
So our apologies to our guest,
you whatever. Say loosely.
Yeah, no, Steve's a good dude, man.
He's a pain in the butt.
He's a good dude.
Be honest.
He's a good dude. Here's what I heard about Steve Johnson. I heard that he was in the car with Patrick Reed when they wrecked that green Porsche.
Yeah. Is that right?
That's what we hear.
Did he wreck it?
I don't know.
Who gets a green Porsche anyway?
Yeah, I mean, come on. Too much money.
Was it Masters Green? Was it Masters Green?
It was Masters Green with special gold stitching inside.
Yellow and gold.
Yellow calipers on the brakes.
Well, there he is. There's Steve Johnson.
Hey, Steve.
I'm doing great. Let me chime in on something?
Oh, geez. Go ahead.
There's nothing more ridiculous than tour pros when they make money and they don't know how to spend it. There was a young guy here in town back in the day. He was young. He's not young anymore. He's off the tour, actually. His name's Hunter Mahan. He was so proud of this Bentley that he had purchased. He's a car buff. And he put ostrich leather seats
oh,
in it.
Oh, God.
It was so pimped up. It looked like a Monte Carlo. It was a Bentley that looked like a Monte Carlo.
Did the front end bounce up and down when you pressed a button too?
And he was so proud of it. I thought, oh my God, you just totally destroyed this car.
Yeah,
he loved it.
One of the most beautiful cars, and he totally took it down.
There's a great player from Dallas that is still driving a beater. He's still driving a beat up Suburban, isn't he? And that would be a one Scotty Scheffler. He doesn't care.
Yeah. Yep.
I like that.
I think though, let's tell that story correctly, and that started from Randy Smith, his instructor. But I think it's true for the most part, but I kind of have the feeling he's got a couple other cars in the garage.
He just happens to probably
pile into the Suburban. I got to think at this point he's bought something nice. His wife's not driving a Suburban, so I think those stories kind of become like Herschel Walker never lifted a weight, yet he looks like Hercules. Stories, and you're like, really? How'd that work? How'd that happen?
Yeah.
So I think they take a life of their own.
Sometimes. Anyway, for the listeners who don't know, the car showed up with, I think, less than 400 miles on it at an auto auction site that auctions off high-end cars that have been, totaled, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was Patrick Reed's VIN number in his car and the car that he went out and had.
Is there a picture online of this car?
There is, yeah. It's pretty beat up, too.
Oh, 400 miles.
Patrick, wow.
You need to look it up. Yeah, he crashed it.
Maybe his dad never taught him how to drive a stick shift.
He doesn't get along with his parents.
Oh, wow. I just saw the car.
It doesn't look good, does it?
Yeah. No, it doesn't, but it looks like it's almost a race car is what it looks like.
Well, that version of that Porsche is. There are only 1,000 of them, I think, maybe less than that, ever made. Yeah. And it's a $480,000 car.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
That looks like,
and like a good neighbor, you've been canceled by State Farm.
The side of it looks like maybe somebody took a golf club to it is what it looks like.
Oh, there it is.
Start a rumor? Hey,
here we go. No reference whatsoever.
Okay.
Steve's a suburban guy. Actually, more of a, what do you got? You got a
Tahoe?
Tahoe, I think,
right? A Tahoe now. Yeah. I did have a Suburban. And one of my, I told the story before, Tim, to you, that one of my students comes from Chicago. He comes down for the day. I pick him up at the airport. And so this was about the third or fourth trip, and I picked him up at the airport. We're walking to the car. He says, "Hey, let me ask you a question. You're still driving that same piece of shit you were driving though. Well, last time you came here." I said, "Yeah, nice. Baby. Yeah. Me and Scotty Scheffler."
You put about 25,000 miles a year on your car, don't you?
Oh, way more than that, Tim. Way more
really?
Than that.
Really? I thought it was like 30, 40?
Wow. Yeah, probably 35 to 40. Yeah.
Because you're now you still live where you lived, and now you're working way across town, right?
Yeah, I'm subject to get road rage now. I'm on the road so much. Yeah, I am subject to road. I just get in one lane and I stay in that lane. But there's guys zigzagging in and out every trip.
The Tahoe is customized with AR-15s on each front fender.
He's got the gun. He's got the turret coming out the top.
Crazy. See,
so I said director of instruction at Vaquero, which is a fairly new this year gig for you. How's it going so far?
It's going great. I love it. I told myself when I got into this business, I was not going to discriminate against rich people. I just refused.
So and I've been in public golf. Include them.
Well, I've been in public golf for about 35 years, and it was a God thing. I think. I mean, I just sold a business.
Yeah.
A good friend of mine, Hank Keeney, who's the director of golf here, called me up and said, "Hey, do you know of anyone that would like to teach?" I said, "When do I start?" And then I'm here. So it's beautiful. It's a great place. The golf course is under construction right now. They're doing a major renovation of the golf course. Andrew Green, who has done Marion, he's done Oak Hill. I mean, he's done a lot of courses. Worked for... You know, like most of these guys start out, he was moving dirt. He was a worker, and he's done a great job. The driving range here, the practice area, is phenomenal, and he's done that already. But it's a pleasure to be here, and I'm just trying to keep my job. So I got to behave myself.
Trying to keep your job, you're going to lose it.
Aren't we all?
Weeks.
Yeah. Aren't we all?
Yeah. I'm an independent contractor, and I'm trying not to get fired. So
okay, there you go. And he's got work to get to, Frank. So that's why we kind of had to jump in. People listening, of course, on the beauty of a podcast, you can kind of do it anytime you want, and you can listen to it anytime you want. We appreciate everybody that tunes in and listens to Golf
Talk
America.
Absolutely.
But Stevie AJ's got to get to his paying gig. So a couple of questions.
Okay.
Let me ask, is the clubhouse built yet, though?
Oh, no, no. It's just been here for 25 years.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. Okay. I wasn't familiar.
This is a very nice club, Frank. None of us could get through the front gate.
I wouldn't be a member of any club that would have me.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Right. it's very nice. We talked about this before, I think. But it's had in the past a number of PGA Tour guys that live inside the gates of Vaquero. It's had the Jonas Brothers, Terry Bradshaw lived there. So it's one of those you have to buy a big piece of property, build or not build, but you have to pay a lot to get a big piece of property to even be a member. And it's the same company, Frank, that I was just down. I was talking about at Driftwood down outside of Austin. Remember, I went down there a couple weeks ago to play there. Same thing there. The numbers have gone up since Vaquero opened. Now you have to buy a $4 million lot to be a member. And the membership comes with it, Frank. So you get that perk.
Oh, free membership.
Only $4 million, you get the
That's kind of like, kinda like when
club.
I bought the sunglasses for $285,000, and they gave me a free Sea Ray. Yeah, give me a boat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Years ago.
Like
That's
that.
Years and years ago. Yeah. I mean, same kind of deal. No, Marsh Landing did that at Sawgrass, by the way, years and years ago. You had to buy a lot, or you couldn't be a member. Of Marsh Landing.
A lot of places have kind of done that. So Steve, guys, we'll move on to something else. But guys at Vaquero, are they normally members at several clubs or at least two or three clubs?
Yeah, usually. I mean, and usually not in this area because this is a fun course to play. Usually, like some of the members, Colorado, East Coast, Baldus Raul. There's some of the ANCC, Augusta National. Courses like that.
Any Nashville members? that you know
of? There may be some people that some courses in Nashville. So I'm not sure. I had to sign a non-disclosure, so I can't really talk about
it. Can't talk about the membership.
Even though you just did.
In your agreement, one of the most important points we need to ask you, Steve, is in your agreement there is you're the director of instruction, I believe, there.
I'm a manager of one. I'm a manager of me.
So you can get Tim and I on the course when it's open.
So I think we just had a bad connection. You cut out there.
Somehow I knew that was going to happen.
There you go.
Okay.
There you go.
Okay.
So, Steve.
But Tim. Oh, yes. Go ahead, Tim. Go ahead.
I just talk about the world of golf, if you got a second.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. Okay. You mentioned something, Tim, about.
Is your stand-up done? Are you done yet? Is your set finished?
Hello, tested. Are we on?
Welcome, everybody.
I've actually done a little research. Yes. I've done a little research today, and you mentioned this, Tim, and I'm a good listener. You said we're playing down in Mexico this week. Not a lot of names that you'd recognize except, you know, John Rahm and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
I'm looking at, you know, we're getting down. We're more than halfway through the season. I mean, this season's three quarters of the way done.
Blowing by. Yeah.
And yes. So I've seen some tour pros that have been practicing hard that are not – part of it. Now this year it's top 70 in the FedEx Cup that get
correct
that get exempt, and then they'll have some other exempt categories. Mm-hmm. When you talk about no personalities in Mexico, there are very I think the PGA Tour, although they have great players, leagues and tournaments function around personalities, not just shooting numbers. A lot of these guys you wouldn't recognize if they're sitting at a restaurant table next to you.
Right.
But let me just go through the top. I mean, just really quickly, in the top 20, these are the names that you would recognize. John Rahm, Scottie Scheffler. You may recognize, if you're an avid golfer, the name Max Homa, but a lot of people don't know who the heck Max Homa is. Keegan Bradley. You'd recognize him, but he's been down for a few years. There are not a lot of names up here. Taylor Moore, would you recognize him? If there was a lineup, Tim, would you recognize Taylor Moore?
Well, the leader is Austin Smotherman. So there you go. No, I would not.
Austin
I would not.
Well,
Bill Haas. Bill Haas is playing, right?
I would not recognize Austin. Tano Goya is in second place.
But I'm talking about the FedEx Cup. We're three quarters of the way through the season. I'm looking at the FedEx Cup list, and you've got Taylor Moore up there. He's in the top 20.
Right.
You wouldn't recognize him if you saw him.
No.
I mean,
I think that's good. I think that's good.
Why is that good, Frank? Why is that good?
I don't think it's good for you or for us, maybe, but for their families, I think it's really good.
They don't want that. No, nobody does not want to be recognized, I don't think. Everybody wants fame and fortune.
Frank, we're not against families, but we're talking about a league here.
I know.
We're talking about a league. I think the direction the PGA Tour is going, I think they're going to let a lot of Europeans and foreign players in tournaments just to try to create some drama and to create some type of national type
competition,
rallying around the U.S. players, because although we've got a lot of good players, we don't have people that you'd say, hey, I want to go out to the tournament this week and I want to watch Chris Kirk.
Right. Yeah. And that's what we've talked about when they do the elevated tournaments, the guys almost have to go to those, although obviously Rory decided not to. So they got those big names that'll go to those. Yeah. But if you're not an elevated tournament, if you're not one of those, then you do have the leaderboard, which we're looking at now. And this is no disrespect, but it's kind of like talking about a basketball team. Once you get past Steph Curry and star players, who else is on the court? You don't always know who they are. And yes, you don't know who Taylor Pendrith is or Eric Cole. I'm looking at the leaderboard for the Mexico. Andrew Putnam, you know, on and on and on. These guys, you're right, can walk in any restaurant. And you watch the promotion for the PGA, it's almost always the same handful of guys. They still use Ricky. And Ricky hasn't won since Clinton was in office, right? So, I mean,
he's tied for he's at 29th place in the FedEx Cup, though. He's doing
he's
better
top 30. Year. He's having a good year, but I'm saying he hasn't won. So you get names and you get faces, but they're few and far between, you know, and that's why they've hung their hat, PGA Tour on Tiger for so long that they still do, despite the fact that he's become fairly irrelevant when it comes to actually playing, and I get his legacy and all that, but they still promote Tiger, and you're like, oh my God, really? He's ranked 1,200th in the world. That's the problem they're having, is they have to somehow get these other guys that we're talking about who play in a lot of these other tournaments so that people know who they are and respect them and want to know who they and know their face, which isn't the
exactly
case now.
Exactly. Yeah. But people don't realize how fast, like when you go to a tournament, you've got crowds around Tiger, you've got crowds around Jordan Spieth, used to have crowds around Phil Mickelson. After that, now guys, in San Diego, which is a big tournament at Torrey Pines,
your hometown,
you had Luke Donald, who was former world number one, playing with Ernie Els, I mean, top player in his time, rival of Tiger, yeah, a foreign player. And then you had Japan's most famous golfer, Hideki Matsuyama. That threesome playing, and you know how many people were watching them?
Friends
and family. Same as this podcast?
Five people.
Okay, five. That's two off.
I was
smart ass.
I was one of them. Butch Harmon was one of them because he was helping Ernie. And then a couple other people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
It's crazy. Ernie Els. I mean, that's how fast it drops off, though. That's how fast it drops off. So, I mean, I think the PGA Tour is, I don't want to cry wolf here. The sky is falling, but I see a little problem here. People are not going to get out of their chairs to go watch Max Homa play.
Yeah.
They're just not.
Yeah. Even though he's phenomenal. He's a great player.
Well, he's a great Twitter personality, too.
All these guys are great players. They're all great players. But they
have to cultivate that, Steve. I mean, that's something that has to happen in Pontevedra where they say, okay, what are we doing? And I don't think the PGA Tour has done a very good job of really marketing their guys. They market
I agree.
Superstars, and they certainly, as I said, Tiger will be 73 years old. He will still be on promos that they're going to show on TV leading up to some tournament to show you that, you know, Tiger won this back in 2006, and now he's 60 years old.
Look at what Michael Wan did with a basically bankrupt LPGA. Some of the smaller things that he did had great impact, and one of them I thought was fabulous, outside of sending the media guide to us with all the names phonetically spelled for us, which was important, but he put their Twitter handle at the time on the bib along with the name right below it, their Twitter handle on there to keep social media active on those people. That's a good idea, I think.
The face of women's golf has changed, no doubt about it. I mean, back in the day, it looked like a women's softball team was out there playing golf.
Yeah,
but now it's a lot more there's a lot more femininity. Yep. It's a lot more fun to watch. But Frank, when you said Michael Wan has done a great job, he's added tournaments.
He did.
The purses are still terrible.
But before we go into that and get into, you know, the downtrodden of people support what they support. And if the money is not there to give, I mean, I get this argument all the time about the WNBA or whatever. If the people aren't there to support it, then there isn't money to be paying the golfers or basketball players or whatever millions of dollars. And that's whether it's a Korn Ferry, the WNBA, the LPGA. Right. It's all about the money that's generated. If Tiger had not come along, you and I and Frank, we all know that the money wouldn't be where it is on the PGA Tour.
Exactly.
They had no reason to keep it. But suddenly, everybody and their brother wanted to push money onto the PGA Tour and be part of Tiger, that they're like, oh, well, now the purse goes from $3 million first place, I mean, $300,000 first place, to $1 million, to $1.5 million, to $2 million, and it keeps going up. That's what has to happen. If the money doesn't support it, it's not that there's a
bias. How do we get there?
Against watching.
How do we get there?
It's a tough nut. I mean, again, that's why I think Tiger is the golden child, right? I mean, it's
absolutely.
Thank God Tiger came along because the PGA Tour might be, you know, kind of struggling.
The king is dead. So how do we get there?
Well, that's what they got to do now is figure out how they go along with that. Now, certainly Spieth is that's what they call him, the golden child, right? I mean, all the other golfers call him that because he kind of is. He's Mr. Perfect and phenomenally talented and all that. But once you get past, as we've talked about, Frank, all the time, 10 guys, 15 guys, you run into some really no idea who that guy is on the tour. Again, they could drop a ball anywhere, anytime and shoot 65. We all know how good they are, but nobody really knows. And so it'd be nice. I get that Patrick Reed is a polarizing guy, but polarization in sports is not always a bad thing. People know who Draymond Green is because you either like the Warriors and him or you think he's a complete jackass, right?
Yes.
But somehow he gets – things out there. Now, I'm not saying people should break laws or anything, but controversy does not hurt in any sport that we're talking about.
It doesn't, but Tim, you're talking about a person that's a transcendent player. I'm not saying that all these players are bigger than the game. You're talking about a Tiger Woods. You're talking about a Michael Jordan. You're talking about a LeBron James. You're talking about guys that are Derek Jeter. You're talking about guys that people will be talking about for years and years after their careers are done. Last year at the Byron Nelson, Scottie Scheffler played in the group, and I was walking with a group, and Scottie Scheffler played in a group in front of me. I thought, hey, this Scottie Scheffler, that's cool. I had no desire to go watch him play, although he's a great golfer. He's world number one. He hasn't reached that level of being transcendent. Rory McIlroy has an opportunity to be that, but he's elected to be, a political figure now.
Yeah, he's polarizing.
So, I mean, that's the problem I see with the PGA Tour, and I've said this many times. Jordan Spieth is by far the most important player in golf right now. Yeah. Him playing well will do more for the PGA Tour than, 20 Max Homas or Tony Finaus.
Yeah.
He just will.
But that's part of the problem, though. That's part of the problem, Steve, is they need more than the one guy. If he replaces Tiger. I'm saying if he replaces to some degree Tiger as the guy, you got to have more than the guy, right? I mean, you've got to somehow, and that's not on us. That's on the PGA Tour. They've got to figure out how do we get more recognition from these? How do we promote more? And I guess, they're trying. They got the PIP thing going, so the guys are on social media and all that. But everybody isn't checking Twitter all the time to see what Max Homa is having for breakfast. No. Yeah. So they've got to figure out a way to get that out there. And unfortunately, it's not a team sport. Right? It's a very unique sport because it is individuals, meaning that, yes, while Michael Jordan was phenomenal, other guys had other teammates. They could all have a lot of success being part of a team. It wasn't just up to Charles Barkley all on his own to do it. It's all up to these guys. So it is a unique problem that they have, is we don't have teams that kind of come together and you pull for that team. You just either like Max Homa or you don't know who he is.
Right. Well, and Frank says, about Michael Wan and singing his praises. The one thing that Michael Wan did do is he said, this is going to be tough to create a league just in the United States. It's been going the same way for years and years and years. So he helped create a world tour. And that's the purses are still the same, but the only reason they have so many more tournaments is because they have tournaments out of North America, all around the world. It makes it tougher on the players that play in it. But I tell you what, there's a lot more job security when you're playing around the world than when you're just playing in the United States. The purses are exactly the same as they used to be. They try to inflate a couple, like the U.S. Open, on this, equity type deal. Hey, why do the men get this and we only get that? But bottom line is the galleries are very small.
Yeah, it's not about men versus women.
I called it the other day. I called the track and field syndrome. They're great athletes in track and field. It's pretty much an individual sport. But I don't see the stands packed, and I don't see a lot of ads on TV about it. And that's the way of what's happening here right now.
Track and field, Frank, is about one event and one event only.
Yeah.
It's about the Olympics, and that's it.
That's it. You're right.
Yeah, that's it. Every 4 years, they get to, just like the wrestlers, they get to get out there and they go for a gold medal, and then they've got to wait for another 4 years.
Yep.
I'll say this, though. I think tennis, while we're talking about sports, tennis has the same problem as golf. And tennis has a much bigger problem in the fact that their superstars, which are Federer, Djokovic, and Nadal, are all 35-plus and on their way out. Who's replacing them? Nobody can name three other tennis players after you go through those three. Think about their problem marketing going, who do we have out there? Who's the best American? And everybody's like, I don't know. Is anybody else playing? It used to be, right? You used to know McEnroe, Connors, and Vitas Gerolaitis, and all these great tennis. And golf has to look at that and say, okay, we can't become that. We can't go from tennis being this phenomenal. All people care about now is Wimbledon. And the rest of the time, they have no idea who's – golf can't become that, and they're kind of slipping that way, that they're so marketing on a handful of superstars and counting on them to make the cut and be in the final group and all that for the TV ratings and all that, that it's going to be really a challenge for them to not go down that same road as tennis, which used to. track and field, Frank, the same way. I mean, I don't know if you did, but I used to follow the top pole vaulters in the world, the top sprinters in the world. You know, you kind of knew who some of those guys were. I couldn't name four track and field athletes in the world today. I have no idea, right? So ebb and flow, and golf has to stay away from that.
Let's throw this in there. Last week, there was an event in Australia, and I watched it. I will tell you, I clicked on the CW, and I watched it.
Yeah.
And it was exciting. Those people were starved. Australians are starved for good golf.
Yeah. Australia.
And boy, it was, I mean.
Well, they showed it when Koepka made his hole-in-one, didn't they?
Oh my God.
Yeah. Starved. Yeah,
it looked like
they were thirsty.
Looked like Saturday night at Ole Miss football game.
Yeah.
And that's off campus.
But that's a great point, Frank, because don't tell me, if you're the PGA Tour, don't tell me that the LIV hasn't hurt you, because it's taken a lot of polarizing personalities, like Tim's talking about. It's taken the Brooks Koepkas, who, you know, is a Hall of Fame player that some people like him, but he's not a likable guy. Yeah, you know, he wins a major and says, I don't even really like golf.
But you
like
kind of watch him to hate him, right? I mean, that's the thing is you watch these polarizing guys to see him get beat, just like people old days listen to Howard Stern. God, I can't stand that guy. How often do you listen? Every day? Really?
Dustin Johnson, same thing. Dustin Johnson. I mean, the guy is a phenomenal player. He's a great athlete. Phil? I would go across the street, to watch those guys.
Did you hear what Desmond Howard said last night on the NFL draft on ESPN? Did anybody catch what he said about golf?
No, I didn't.
He said golfers aren't athletes. They're just not athletes.
Is that what he said?
Yeah, he said it.
Well, coming from a Heisman Trophy winner, I guess he would probably have a fair opinion about that.
Yeah.
But I don't. I think that's changed, and that's another subject. But I think the guys like Dustin Johnson, certainly Tiger, have changed it to where guys are now making a call who make Bruce Koepka maybe able to play college baseball, other sports, maybe go pro in other sports. Never used to be the case, right? A lot of them used to be, no kidding, Colin Montgomery. You know, and you kind of, I'm just saying body style, and you kind of look at him and go, okay. Guy's a great golfer, but come on.
Give me a biscuit and a beer.
Right? And now, now we got some athletes. So I think it's definitely changed. I think Jordan Spieth's a very good athlete. Scotty Scheffler. And you look at him, and they look like athletes as opposed to, you know, golfers.
Us.
You know, Craig Stadler. Thank you.
That's not nice.
All right. You probably got to go, don't you, Stevie?
I've got to go. Is there any other wisdom I can shed on you guys? Any no, subjects that you...
Okay. Hey, yes or no question. Yes or no question.
It's breaking news. Breaking news. Okay. Tim Matthews is a grandfather. Way to go, Tim!
Congratulations, Tim!
Way to go!
Thank you.
We heard a couple weeks ago you were tormented. Should I go play golf or go to the hospital? Everything worked out great.
No, Steve, he went to the doctor. This is breaking news. He went to the doctor and said, look, I've got a golf trip coming up. Can you induce this thing? That's exactly what he did. And the
can
doctor
you non-induce?
Refused.
I know you can induce. Can you non-induce?
No. It
worked out great.
Yes or no? I'm just going to throw this out. LIV Golf and the PGA Tour will have to come to a merger.
I think that'd probably be the best thing for them. I don't know if they will. Yeah. Not with this executive director, Jay Monahan.
They'll have to change a few things. Norman might have to step aside. And I think there's ways to do that. It's like companies that merge, Frank, you know this, companies that merge aren't always on the same page.
Been there, done that.
And sometimes the leaders, the CEO, has to take his little golden parachute and step aside, right? I mean, that happens when there's a merger, and they're okay. And he might have to get his own $100 million package.
I took my aluminum parachute.
And say, Greg, thank you very much, but you got to move.
Aluminum
and so there's ways around that. There's ways around
animosity. Something's got to break. Happens. Something has to break. It's becoming more polarizing, and LIV is growing like crazy. One other thing I want to throw out there that we talked about just for Steve is the suffrage movement is coming, and that's going to be PGA Tour champions. Because these guys are in no man's land between, 44, 45, and 50. And what if LIV comes to the names and says, hey, just come with us?
Yeah.
That's going to kill PGA Tour champions. So, in my opinion, they're going to have to look at lowering the age of PGA Tour champions, even by 2 years or 3 years or 4 years, or make it a 3-year process of 2 years, 2 years, and 1 year.
It's going to be tough to compete with the dollars that they would offer those guys, though, Frank. I don't know if they'd want to get into that. I mean, I don't know. The PGA Tour Champions is like the LPGA now. The purses are small. It's more of an event outing.
Yeah.
These guys have commitments every night with sponsors and all that. It's a great sponsor event, but it's not a great TV event. I don't think they go after that.
You don't?
No, I don't think so. And I don't think golf is in a bad place, but I don't think it's in the propaganda great place that Jay Monahan would have you believe it is.
Yeah.
Because you have your top 70 guys. There's no transcendent players there. There are guys that you've never heard of before. And I just don't think they're in the spot that they claim to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got to make great insights.
I think for sure.
Mr. Johnson.
Okay, I'm going to let you guys noodle that. And I'm going to go teach some golf.
All right.
Go teach a couple of rich guys
how to play.
I'm not going to discriminate. I will not. I refuse.
Good for you. Good for you to take that rich guy's money. All right, Steve. Take care.
Thanks,
right,
Steve.
Talk to you, man. Bye-bye.
All right. Steve Johnson, Director of Instruction at Vaquero Country Club here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area.
Hit the clock button.
Formerly with Hank Haney for years and years and years, and now doing his own thing. He really couldn't be happier. I mean, the beauty of Steve's gig is that they're not playing golf. So all those guys that might just say, I don't need lessons, I'm going to go play. He's getting a lot of business. He's got a lot of guys going, you know, I can't play, so I might as well, you know, learn how to hit this 3-wood. So he's having a good time over there.
Yeah.
All right, go take a quick break and we'll come back and talk a little more, wrap things up.
Let's do this.
You are listening to Golf Talk America, and Frank and myself will be back right after this. Stay where you are.
Hey, everybody. Green Chef, a new sponsor to Golf Talk America, is joining us, and I have to tell you, the food is phenomenal. The ease of preparation, the quality of the food, and the multiple recipes. You can choose from 30 recipes weekly. You have the option to mix and match everything in their plans, change things around from vegan one day to keto the next, and customize, even swapping protein in any meal that features chicken, beef, or salmon for USDA certified organic ground beef, USDA certified organic chicken, and wild caught, my favorite, sockeye salmon. You can also add chicken or fish to select vegan and veggie recipes. I mean, so you can swap this stuff around and make it anything you want it to be. You don't have to have a prepackaged, canned, one-size-fits-all meal. That's what's important to me. One size doesn't fit all. And with Green Chef, one size is what you're going to have because the portions are properly put together so that you're not going to overeat. But you'll be full when you finish. The recipes feature organic produce, premium proteins, sustainably sourced ingredients, and the 2023 and the food standards that they've done for 2023 are out of sight. Let me tell you, the other night I was tired. I didn't want to mess with cooking. And I said, well, I'll pull out a Green Chef meal. So I grabbed one of the meals and it was salmon, slapped it together in just a few minutes, threw it in, cooked it, sat down, ate it. It was incredible. And again, it's so easy to do that it's just ridiculous. So whether you're going for keto or vegan or you just want ease of preparation, we fully recommend Green Chef. Golf Talk America folks use Green Chef. We love it. And our friends are starting to love it too. So what I want you to do is go to greenchef.com/golfer60. That's G-O-L-F-E-R 60. And use code GOLFER60 to get this, 60% off. Plus, free shipping. So you got to do it. I'm telling you, it's the number one meal kit for eating well, and we love Green Chef.
Welcome back to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett coming to you today. And we want to make mention, of course, to one of our great, great sponsors, that's Invited Clubs. Go to Invited, formerly Club Corp. Go to Invited and check them out. See who's in your area. And you can find a club near you. Get privileges at other clubs all over the country. They continue to expand. They're growing, doing more and more. And we'll be doing more and more with Invited as well to kind of tell that story of who they are, where they are, and what's going on with Invited. They just hosted the Celebrity Classic out at Los Colinas Country Club last week, which was a combo PGA Tour Champions and Celebrity Tournament, which was on the celebrity side, won by Tony Romo.
Yes.
Who lost last year in a playoff to Marty Fish. And but won it this year. And so it was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun to watch.
See that all put on by Invited. Really good people.
Yeah, we appreciate them very much. Great clubs and great city clubs, too, and stadium clubs.
Yep.
So, you know, that this coming football season, we'll have to hit a couple of those stadium clubs. New club in Dallas, by the way, Constellation Club. They totally redid
it. It's new name. It was the SEMA Club, and they owned by Club Corp, if you will, and then transformed into a new name and a whole new design and look about it. And it's
it looks gorgeous.
28th floor up in a office building in Las Colinas, and the Constellation Club. So it's just one of the things they do. Yeah. They're always the great thing about Invited, Frank, is they have some pretty deep pockets, and they are continually helping and fixing your course, my course, other courses. Yeah. Whether you need new bunkers, you need to fix something in the dining room, whatever it might be, they're constantly evolving and making a better experience for their members, and that's what's great about them.
That's what they do, and we appreciate it very much. We appreciate their support and our sponsorship. So,
hey, you watch the NFL draft. You mentioned
I did watching
it last
start
night.
To finish.
Did it go any way for you against what you wanted or anything like that?
I was sort of surprised at some of the picks.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Far be it from me. I'm not in that boardroom when they start making those selections. Multi-million dollar decisions. But,
Well, your Titans took a guy out of Northwestern.
I love that pick.
Not a sexy pick, but he's an offensive lineman. And you need those guys, but they're not always the sexy guy, right?
Yeah, but this kid is good. I mean,
Skoronski. I'm not saying he's not.
Skoronski, his dad played for the Packers, 2 Super Bowls, played under Lombardi. His grandfather, I should say.
Grandfather, yeah.
Under Lombardi. So, yeah, I love that pick. I thought that was smart because we don't need to pick another quarterback and put him back there and let him get slaughtered like we usually do.
But you're going to need somebody, right? I mean, Tannehill's in the last year of his contract.
There was
rumor that Tennessee was going to move up and try to get maybe Anthony Richardson, the quarterback out of Florida that everybody's skeptical of but high on because of his
talent.
Well,
he didn't
play
a lot. What, 9 games or something?
He started 13 games. 13 games. In his career, so.
Well, what about the quarterback from Ohio State? Was there some controversy about him?
Yeah, a couple of different things. That C.J. Stroud went number 2 to Houston, so apparently not a lot of controversy to keep him down, but he was contending, if you will, with Bryce Young to be the top pick in the draft. People were wondering one way or the other. He had much better size than Bryce Young, but Stroud, the strikes against him where they do a cognitive test for all potential draft picks. He did not score very well on the cognitive test. That concerned. When it's a quarterback, it really concerns teams because that's a huge part of being a quarterback is deciphering last-second information and changes and things that are going on at the line of scrimmage. And he also had rumors were coming out. And again, you sometimes have to, almost like politics, you have to wonder if this is just another team throwing a rumor out there, hoping you'll pass on him and we can get him, kind of thing, right?
So you got that doesn't happen, does it?
You got to wonder. But they did say he had some troubles with coaching at Ohio State.
Yeah.
And so those are the two things against him. But again, he went number 2 to Houston. So he'll get buried with the Texans, and you'll never hear from him again.
Yeah, we will. We will hear him. And Nashville will hear from him.
Well, I mean, they turn around. Houston, actually, they got him, and they turn around and made another trade and got Will Anderson, right?
Yeah.
The great outside linebacker for Alabama. So they got the 2 and 3 guys. You would hope they could turn it around. We'll see. They've made some really boneheaded plays in the last 3 or 4 years. And the other thing that happened, too, that people, speaking NFL, maybe kind of lost because it got caught up in the draft, was that Lamar Jackson signed his new contract with Baltimore.
Yes.
And that had been dragging on for over a year, right? Now, interesting here, Lamar Jackson represents himself, does not have an agent. And a lot of people were always saying, oh, you got to, how are you doing that? In this day and age, you cannot do that at blah, 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 right? There's hundreds of, tens of millions of dollars at stake. You got to be a, well, he didn't. He stuck with just him doing it. And he wanted Deshaun, what am I thinking? Deshaun Watson, with Cleveland, Texans former quarterback, got an entirely guaranteed $230 million contract. Well, that set the NFL on its ear because they've never given anybody a fully guaranteed contract.
No.
Deshaun Watson does it, and so then Lamar Jackson said, well, that's what I want. And, of course, Baltimore, and I think everybody suspects, the entire NFL hierarchy got together and said, okay, no more of that crap. Who did that? Cleveland? What are you thinking here? We can't go down that road of guaranteeing contracts. Idiots.
Bet you Jerry had something to say about it.
Well, I'm sure he did because other leagues have seen the ruination in their mind of guaranteed contracts. Now, the players love it, obviously. No matter how good you play, no matter how much you play, you get the same paycheck.
Yeah.
Right? Well, they love that because I can average in basketball 30 a game or six a game the next year. Doesn't matter. I get the same check. In football, they kind of see if you're starting to lose some of the, then they can get you out of there and say, okay, we don't have to pay you anymore. We pay you off, but we don't have to go the full way. And it's worked well because football, as you see, Ezekiel Elliott and others, some guys can quickly kind of lose their their skills. Right? Yes. They're not the same guy. And you're like, now I'm still locked into this
guy. Or lose their head and their own press clippings.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, but I got to pay this guy $50 million for the, whether I want to play him or not. That you get stuck in that. So NFL never wanted to do that. Lamar Jackson kept pushing, and he finally got the deal done for a lot of money. But his guarantee was, total number is $260 million. His guarantee was roughly $186 million.
I don't know how you live on that.
So he did not get what he wanted, which was fully guaranteed. And I think the NFL was totally looking at Baltimore going, don't you dare do it. Don't do it. Joe Pesci, right? Don't do it. Because if you go down the same road as Cleveland, now we're all going to have to start giving guaranteed contracts. We're screwed. So they didn't give him fully guaranteed. But he did sign with Baltimore. We'll see what happens. It's fun. I mean, the NFL draft, Frank, as we've talked about before.
It's turned into a great show.
We'll have higher ratings than last night's NBA playoffs and NHL playoffs.
Well, of course it will.
And there's no action. There's no game being played. There's no score. It's just a draft. And yet, it's the NFL.
Yeah. Well, did you hear when they introduced Goodell?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boo. And then some people came out and said, come on, Kansas City. Let's do it. Boo.
They do that with every commissioner. I think that goes back to Pete Rozelle. Yeah. They always think the commissioner, I don't know. I guess they think he's got the cushiest job in the world. Right? He makes like $40 or $50 million a year. Yeah. And they're kind of like, for what? For moving the deck chairs on the Titanic? I mean,
well, pretty
you just kind of sit there and go to meetings and go, okay, next. Jerry, you got something to say? Go ahead, Jerry. We'd all love that job.
No, we wouldn't.
You just sit in the meetings and kiss the butts of 32 guys.
It's impossible to kiss that many butts. You get chapped quick.
Well, he's done it. He's done
a good job,
His paycheck. Maybe,
I don't know. Well, speaking of the PGA Tour and Live Golf. No, go ahead.
Hang on. My last comment. Bryce Young, and I've said this before, but it finally happened. They did draft him. Bryce Young will not be a superstar in the NFL. He will not be worthy of the number one pick. And mostly why I say that is his size. And people have said, okay, his size, and then they go on to other things. I go, no, you got to go back and focus on that. No quarterback his size, Doug, which is 5'10", 196, has ever excelled in the NFL. None that size has ever been drafted in the first round at that size. Now, people are going to say Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray is the same height, but about 10 pounds heavier. So he had a lot more thickness to him, if you will. So this is a guy who you're expecting to be a very undersized player at the most important position, and yet you're going to overlook that and say, but he's going to somehow be the transitional guy that, despite everybody else, Doug Flutie you mentioned, other guys that have been small could never do it to a great level to be worthy of the number one pick. This guy will do it. I'm like, no, he won't. He's not going to be that guy. He's not the greatest quarterback to ever come along, and he's also way too small. He's 5 inches shorter than the average NFL. 5 inches.
That's
shorter
big.
Than the,
that's big.
That's a big change. I mean, so that's my last.
You're saying a lot of balls batted down. Kind of what you're saying.
Well, it's just you run for your life. You look what's happened to Tua. It's getting his butt kicked. You look at Kyler Murray's missed 7 games the last 2 years with injuries.
Yep.
Right, tore his knee up last year. When you're that small, you get pounded, and if you don't get pounded, you're running for your life. Well, that's when there are linebackers out there that weigh 250 pounds that run just as fast as you do. They chase you down, and they beat you down. You just can't hold up. And they can put weight on him, but I bet he's never going to get taller than 5'10". He might get up to 205 pounds. That's just a small guy. Yeah. Right? I mean, for that position in that sport where size matters, it's kind of like saying, hey, we got an offensive tackle. Oh, yeah, how big is he? Well, he's 6'1", about 250, but he's – they would never draft a 6'1", 250, but they always got all the skills. He's great. He's phenomenal.
How big was Alex Karras in his day?
I'm never going to do that.
Do you remember?
It's a good question. I would say Alex Karras, guys were a lot smaller in those days, even if you're big. But I would say Alex Karras was probably in the 6'2", 280 range.
Yeah, he was a big boy.
It's a defensive tackle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is, certainly not small even today, but not as big as some of the boys. The real change is the offensive line. When I first came to Dallas, and it was a long time ago, but and Staubach had kind of just retired, probably about 5 years before that. But a lot of the offensive linemen had played with Staubach, and the average offensive lineman back then, I'm talking mid-80s, was probably 265 pounds. offensive lineman. 265. Yeah. I mean, that's a linebacker today. That's a could be a running back today. The guys today are that you saw got drafted, Frank, they're like 320, 330.
I know.
345.
I wouldn't be able to take a snap if I were under center. I just look across and go, nah, coach, I quit.
I mean,
I'm out.
It's guys in high school are 300 pounds when they go to college.
Yeah, right? it's changed. Golf's changed. Football's changed. Everything's changed. Everything's changed.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. It's gonna be a good week. We're in Mexico. We're in Singapore.
Yeah.
We're in Sperity is this week, right? Isn't Stankowski playing?
Stankowski will be playing down in Houston. So the PGA Tour champions, which normally don't play every week, are playing back-to-back weeks, and they go to Sperity. And, we'll see how.
And that's being played where?
Sperity's in the Woodlands.
Yeah, it's in the Woodlands. So it's club course. Yeah. Invited clubs. God, it's been club course so long. I love the name Invited.
Yeah.
I keep bunking it up.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's we should be. Why aren't we there?
And I think too, here's the other thing about the PGA Tour champions. I agree that like the LPGA, the money isn't there, but the money isn't there because it's not there, not because people don't like seniors or don't like women or whatever.
Right.
But the money's not there to
the
back
draw.
It, so that's okay. That's the way it is.
Yeah.
But if you're good, I mean, even a guy like Stankowski, who's had a pretty good 2023 season for the PGA Tour champions, you get a few top fives, top tens, and mount those on top of each other. You'll make over $1 million for sure. That's not a bad way to be a 52 or 3-year-old,
I mean,
so it's not PJ Tour, but there are a lot of guys on the PJ Tour that aren't making $1.5 million.
You think, to that point, do you think that with the designated events now and the purses that are growing and growing on the PGA Tour to compete with LIV Golf in some form or fashion, do you think that's going to damage the PGA Tour champions?
I think what you were saying before is accurate. Steve didn't agree, but I do agree to the point of PGA Tour champions has to lower their age because there are guys that are in that no man's land. And let's say from 42 to 50, that's 8 years. They're not going to just sit on the sidelines for 8 years. They've got to find something else to do. And some of them will not come back to golf, right? Or some of them will just kind of say, okay, in Stankowski's case, he started a leather goods company and different golf-related businesses, but he wasn't really playing. And he kind of had to, for 2 years, work his way at 48 to work his way back into the golf world. Well, now he's 53, right? So, I mean, he kind of started 5 years ago to get to where he is now. But guys will fall out of that if you let him go. And there's a lot of guys that are, I'm not saying Ryan Palmer isn't still effective, but he's in that age range where, you don't
might
hit it as
few
far.
Yards. Yeah.
He
cranks it out there pretty good, but.
He does, but not everybody does, right? Justin Leonard totally got out of golf because he couldn't, he was hitting the ball 265 yards and couldn't compete. But they also have third surgery on their elbow, Frank, right? And the body in wear and tear. And so now you're saying, okay, now I'm 44 and my body's kind of breaking down a bit. I got to go 6 years. So I think for those reasons, they should lower the age. At the same time, I do think the LIV Tour, if you're a Justin Leonard, let's put him at 44, 43 years old, and he knows he's not really playing on the tour, I'll go play LIV Tour. Why would I not play LIV Tour? It's either that or I get out of the business because I'm not going to play PJ Tour. I'm not old enough to play champions. I'm in that no man's land. Why would I not go to play LIV Tour?
I think the LIV Tour is going to change. I think they're not going to be able. Let me rephrase that. I don't see them throwing the dollar signs like they did initially at players down the road now. They'll throw some dollars, big dollars at them.
Yeah.
But I just, those enormous, just sinful dollars that were thrown out there originally to get started were nothing more than seed money, venture capital for a new startup is all it was.
Yeah.
They had to make a splash, and they did.
Sure.
So just like starting
I think
any
what
company.
They might do, let me say that I would think that they're still deep pockets. They would all go there, meaning, I'm bringing up Justin Leonard. Let's go back to a guy like that who's 44 years old that they might approach. They're not going to say, here's $100 million if you want to play. But I think those guys would all go expecting some upfront money because that's all we've heard about. So it would be, but maybe they'd give him $5 million,
but here,
some number of millions to say, okay, now you're in and now you get to play. And if Justin Leonard were to, as we've seen, Taylor Gooch was never really considered a threat to win most tournaments and certainly majors. Taylor Gooch is leading right now in Singapore. He won their last tournament, right?
Yeah, he did.
That's $4 million.
Yep.
And then you get your team money. It's maybe $4.5 million. Why would you not, if you're Justin Leonard-type player at that age, why would you not go play there with that kind of money?
Well, here's a thought. Okay, speaking of LIV Golf, older players, you start getting some of them across with big names. And now you change the team format a little bit to more like an ABCD player, but ABCD by age. Yeah. And each team has to have a certain age group.
Maybe.
That might be pretty cool.
Maybe.
That's a possibility, I think. So, and that's just coming off the top of my head, or I pulled that out of my, or whatever. But you know,
I think they're having a lot of conversations, right?
Live Tour,
and I think PJ Tour is as well, going, okay, what else do we need to do? Because Live Tour is apparently not going away. People act like, they're kind of fly, but you don't know that. None of us know, right? With the crystal ball.
No.
They act like they've got a 5-year plan and all the money in the world to do it for 5. Okay, so that's 4 more years of them doing it. In that time, does the PJ Tour keep losing some players? And do they need to go, okay, we got to keep going. Because the PJ Tour, in graphic terms, got fat and happy and said, okay, we got all the people we want. We
own the world of golf.
Yeah. We are totally a monopoly. And so we can do whatever we want. We don't have to give you any more. Where else are you going to go? And then suddenly they're like, oh, really, there's another girl you can date? No, okay. Then suddenly I gotta fix my hair. I got to look better because there's more competition out there, right? So suddenly I think the PJ Tour has got to have those conversations of what do we do next? And that's a good thing because I do think that they slacked and they got – that's why the Live Tour was available. That's why these guys jumped. Yes, it was the money, but they also felt appreciated. And the guys like Phil – who didn't need the money, apparently, unless the debt was so high from Caesars.
We don't know.
Didn't necessarily need the money, but he said, you know what? I just don't feel like you guys give a damn about us. And somebody over here is, sweet talking in my ear.
Can't imagine that ever happening. I just can't. Whatever.
So, yeah.
Tongue in cheek.
Never. So that's well, I think it, I mean, we talk about it almost every show, don't we, Frank?
Yeah.
So the Live Tour has not had an impact.
No.
We have millions of people listening to our show, Frank. Millions
I do. I know we do.
Out there listening. So we talk about it, so they hear about it. People are on a regular basis here, Live Tour. They didn't just fade away like people hoped. They've got big name players. They don't have swarms of bees attacking their players. That was a nice little added you think Monahan was off to the side with a cage of bees? Pulls open the thing.
He's got hive beaters out there. He's got 16 hive beaters holding up hives and suits and beating
every
the
show.
Hives.
And Good Morning America and everything had to show that, right? The guy's taking cover because couldn't see the problem, right? From TV, you could see the bees. You just saw these guys diving on the ground. Everybody's like, what the hell are
they
doing?
That's a Will Ferrell skit right there. That's this new show he's going to be doing.
Oprah Winfrey.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
It was funny, but it wasn't funny because I've had that happen before. And it's frightening when a swarm of bees come at you.
I bet. I mean, I'm not
you're taught to hit the ground
think,
or get in the water. One of the two. Jump in the hazard. Yeah. If you jump in the hazard down there, you're going to get eaten by a crocodile.
And you're kind of uncovered, right? You got short sleeves on. You got your face and your hand. I mean, you got to cover up because, some of those guys, I guess none of them did. I think it went over them, if you will.
Yeah.
But could you imagine if you're laying on the ground and they decide,
I
had a bee swarm in my back. If like 4,000 of them decided to land on your back.
You got to get to a water hazard. That's what you're taught to do. Get in the water. Go underwater.
Yeah. And what if there's, here's Frank. You're in Florida. A bee swarm comes at you. They're all over you. Do you dive in a gator infested pond to get rid of the bees? What do you do?
I think you say the Lord's Prayer and give it up. It's over.
I'm going to die.
Father, forgive me.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
You got gators sitting here looking at you, and then you got bees on your back. You're like, what do I do? What do I do?
Yeah. Bees 10, golfers 0.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Anyway, it's going to be a fun weekend to watch a little bit of golf. But we'll see. Yeah. I'm looking forward to Will Ferrell's new venture. It's going to be sort of I think it's going to be a parody of a PGA Tour Live Golf type thing.
I didn't hear about it. I read
a little bit about it. It's a series, I think. I don't know. I shouldn't speak of it because I don't know everything about it. I just heard he's going to be doing something golf related in regard to what's going on today between the tours. And that's all I heard. So I think it'll be great. But, James, what's his name? The Late Late Show, James Corlew? Is going off the air tonight, too. So there you go. This will be his last show, so it ought to be a good one, too.
Yeah.
So there'll be some good stuff to watch. The draft, whatever. I don't know. I'm tired. Bored. Can't play golf. It's wet as you know what here. It's ridiculous. It's going to rain again.
Hey, speaking of that, I know why.
Cart path
that,
only.
You're kind of grumbling. and it made me think. I go to a meeting. A board meeting with the library here in Dallas last week, and consultant came in, and once in a while.
All right,
and a consultant comes in, he's going to tell us different things about libraries, and he's asking a question, and he's just out of the blue. He says something. He's talking. He goes, "I didn't get a harump out of that guy." And I started laughing, and nobody else in the room, there's like 30 people in the room, nobody else got it. Nobody else was laughing.
No.
I said, that is classic, because nobody responded to what he said. He goes, "I didn't get a harump out of that guy." I go, wait. He started laughing. He and I were like the only ones that got this inside joke of Blazing Saddles.
Oh, my Lord. How is our friend Burton Gilliam doing?
How's a harump? He's doing pretty good. He played in a celebrity tournament in Vegas about a month ago and hurt his wrist, so he's kind of been sidelined by a bad wrist.
Ah.
But other than that,
well, let's get at least a 9-hole round going with him when I head over for the Charles Schwab Challenge.
Or at least 9 holes.
Well, at least 9 if he doesn't want to play 18. Oh. I mean, you know, sometimes Burton gets tired, doesn't he? I mean, I don't want to cast aspersions upon him.
At least 9 holes.
Yeah, at least 9. Well,
maybe,
okay,
maybe
4.
Two. Maybe 2.
Maybe 2. I don't know. Let's do 9 and a,
but he's doing good. He's
9
doing
and
good.
Dine. 9 and wine. Yeah. There we go. Let's hit the bar. Anyway, so we'll get over there and try to do some golf in Dallas pretty soon. So let's get a couple of matches going with some people.
Tournament's coming up. Tournaments are coming
call
up.
Call Lee, see if he wants to join us.
Sure.
Okay. I don't know. Somebody play some music.
Yeah.
Let's get us out of here.
Might be you.
I'm going to have to press a button.
Again, and check invited.com. Check out the Invited Clubs because they are making big moves and they were blowing and going, and you want to be a part of it at Invited. Such a hospitality company that is very hospitable and loves each and every one of you. You feel like a very special person when you're a member at an Invited Club. Thanks to Steve Johnson, Director of Instruction at Vaquero, for joining us. And for Frank Bassett, I'm Tim Matthews. Thanks all of you for listening to us. And remember to join us next time right here on the world's greatest podcast, Golf Talk America.